Hello and welcome to this week's Home is Where the Hearth is podcast, where we are continuing our study, our discussion, our time with the philosophy of myth of J.R.R. Tolkien, using as our focus his famous lecture and then subsequently essay entitled On Fairy Stories. So it's his sort of academic approach to the subject of fairy stories and fantasy, which obviously elucidate his philosophy of myth, which also informs and inspires his own telling of myths and telling of stories such as The Lord of the Rings, therefore something certainly worth studying and knowing. So I'm going to continue now by reading a paragraph and then we'll talk about it. We need a word for this elvish craft, but all the words that have been applied to it have been blurred and confused with other things. Magic is ready to hand, and I have used it above, but I should not have done so. Magic should be reserved for the operations of the magician. Art is the human process that produces, by the way, it is not its only or ultimate object, secondary belief. Art of the same sort, if more skilled and effortless, the elves can also use, or so the reports seem to show. But the more potent and specially elvish craft I will, for lack of a less debatable word, call enchantment. Enchantment produces a secondary world, into which both designer and spectator can enter, to the satisfaction of their senses while they are inside. But in its purity, it is artistic in desire and purpose. Magic produces, or pretends to produce, an alteration in the primary world. It does not matter by whom it is said to be practiced, fae or mortal. It remains distinct from the other two. It is not an art, but a technique. Its desire is power in this world, domination of things and wills. Okay, there's so much in this passage that's worth delving and diving into more deeply. First of all, art here is the human process that produces, by the way, secondary belief. It's not its only or ultimate object. Okay, so the way art is a means by which we can believe in things other than primary reality. Okay. Magic, on the other hand, produces or pretends to produce an alteration in the primary world. So whereas, I've skipped a bit here. He's talking about the power the elves have, and insofar as we have it, where there is something elvish about us, that he, for a lack of a less debatable word is going to call enchantment. It's enchantment that produces a secondary world. So here we see this, if not synonym, certainly the connection of art with enchantment. And again, enchantment is bringing something or seeing something in terms of music or song, from the Latin cantare, to sing. So to be enchanted to see the music in a thing. So when we look at the cosmos and see the music of the spheres, as the great philosophers did in the movement of the heavens, this harmony and the very balletic movement of the planets and the stars, or when we look into nature, as Jeremiah Manning Hopkins did, and see in creation itself the grandeur of God. That we look at a tree and see the presence of God, and the tree itself in some sense is the image of God. We are enchanted in the best sense of the word. We have seen the music of things. And again, the music, the word muse, right? The imaginative faculty that allows us, or the art, to use his word, allows us to enchant others and to be enchanted by others and also by things such as I just said, creation, stars, planets, trees. So this enchantment produces a secondary world of cancer. Specifically, he's talking about so that we can actually enter. So we go through a wardrobe and enter Narnia. Or we put rings on and enter an earlier iteration of Narnia and see it created and see that Aslan singing Narnia into being. There we see Narnia from the very beginning is enchanted. It's enchanted into being. It is sung into being. We read the opening page of the Ainulin Dala in the Silmarillion by Tolkien, and we are told that God, the Allfather, basically brought into being the great music. Creation is this symphony. So again, an enchanted cosmos. We are meant to be enchanted by the primary world, by the way, because as the secondary world show us, because we are actually living in an enchanted cosmos. With the music of the spheres is a reflection or an echo, to keep the metaphor consistent, of the cosmos being sung into being by the great composer, the great artist. So this is enchantment. Now, magic, on the other hand, produces or pretends to produce an alteration in the primary world. So magic is something which alters the world in which we live, or pretends to do so. Some magic is actually illusion. And by the way, there's a big difference between disenchantment and disillusionment. To be disenchanted is to cease to see the enchantment of things, the music in things. To be disillusioned is to cease to see something which is an illusion. Magic actually produces changes, alterations in the primary world, or pretends to do so, or it fakes it, so to speak. It's like a conjurer's trick. So we believe in an artificial virtual reality rather than a real primary reality, and we're therefore living in something which is less real than the world in which we think that magic, if you like, has produced something which promises life and actually diminishes it. And he says it's not an art, but a technique. So here he's distinguishing between ars and techni, between art and technology. And so he's connecting here technology with magic. And the purpose of both, because they're ultimately the same thing, with the magic of the medieval alchemist, the early scientists who sought power by attaining the elixir of life, the immortality, deathlessness, or the philosopher's stone, the ability to turn base metal or trash into gold, in other words, base material into profit. And we still see today, of course, that technology is still used for the same purposes. The vast majority, I'm guessing 90%+, of all so-called scientific research, technological research is to attain the elixir of life, in other words, to prevent death and to lengthen life in the mortal sense of the word, or to turn base metal into gold, or to make a huge profit. The pharmaceutical industry is a perfect example of an industry that does both simultaneously. It's both seeking and promising the elixir of life, that you'll never die. That's what it's striving after, and also making a huge amount of money in the process, turning the quest for the elixir of life into the philosopher's stone, the pharmaceutical industry. So its desire is power in this world. Domination of things and wills. So we see here the difference between art or enchantment, the art of elvish creativity, which ultimately, in a fully theological Christian understanding of things, is giving back to the giver of the gift, the fruit of the gift given. So our own gifts being offered back in sacrifice to those who gave the gift in the first place. That's why the elves say in The Lord of the Rings, the reason the elvish art is so beautiful and so beguiling of lesser beings that do not possess the elvish art of enchantment, they say it's because we put all that we love into all that we make. There's this mystical component to this sort of creativity which transcends and supersedes mere technique. Art is not mere technique. And nor is it worldly in the sense of desiring to dominate things and wills in this world to have power. All right, do we want to carry on? Well, I will for the moment. So, sub-creative art, coming on here, which, however much it may outwardly resemble it, is inwardly wholly different from the greed for self-centered power, which is the mark of the mere magician. Okay, so here we talk about sub-creative art. So for Tolkien, as I'm sure we've discussed before, God is the creator, we are sub-creators. To create is to make something from nothing, God does that. To make things ex nihilo, we on the other hand can only make things from other things that already exist. This is sub-creation. And this act of sub-creation, bringing things not into being, because they already exist, but if you like, bringing new things out of pre-existing things, this process of art is very different in the sense that it seeks beauty or enchantment from the mark of the mere magician that basically is motivated not by this desire to sub-create beautiful things, to enchant, but merely from the greed for self-centered power, the mark of the mere magician. And on that note, I think it's a little bit, because I think I'm going to need to talk about some other things at probably greater length here. So I'm going to desist this week, and we'll continue this ongoing, lengthening engagement with the philosophy myth of J.R.R. Tolkien next week in the Home is Where the Hearth Is podcast. And until then, thanks so much as always for joining me. Do check out the other podcasts, Inner Sanctum and The Lady Dow Diary. Thanks so much for being a member of the Inner Sanctum and for supporting me, my family, and my work. Until next week, goodbye and God bless.